Dear shooter, training is essential, but how do you avoid raising red flags with your instructor? While scheduling a class, if you make your instructor feel uneasy, they will bring an army with them, which will make you uneasy. Let's talk about how not to be that guy.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. and it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
Is it Thursday already? Because what happened to last week?
I have no idea, but it disappeared really fast.
Like in an hour.
Oh, man, it was nuts. I haven't gotten anything done.
Well, I have.
Good. That makes one of us. No, I can't say that. I've got a lot done this week. And actually, over the weekend, I got a lot done.
Well, good.
So, I recently had a couple call me up for private training, and thankfully turned out great. They were wonderful couple. I actually hope they come back. They did extremely well. They're doing everything for the right reasons, but they raised every red flag you could, to the point I called you guys in and I'm like, come armed as backup, just in case.
Yeah. Very rarely do I show up to a class with self-defense ammo.
No, and I got the phone call too. Is you were nervous?
Let me lay this out. Like they called me up. It was a Saturday, Sunday. They called me up and wanted firearms training like today.
So there was urgency.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, here's what I've got open. They chose a Wednesday, like 4 days away. All right. Neither one of them owned a firearm.
And they told you this.
Yes. One had a Colorado driver's license. One had a Utah driver's license. They were calling from a New York number.
Oh.
And all of this was disclosed up front.
I mean, I get Facebook requests from girls that want to talk to me that have this type of information disconnect.
Yeah. And it just, like, I'm like, all right. But it sat a little weird.
I block them.
But this was a phone call. And it was, hey, you know, we got your information off the internet. And, you know, we Googled you. Okay. So this is good feedback from a marketing perspective. Like, I know I'm being seen.
Right.
But there are ways to go about this. As a student, if you're looking for an instructor, especially with private training like this, try to dispel the red flags before.
They may not even understood that there were any flags.
I don't think they did. Now, like I said, ended up being an absolutely wonderful couple. They are in the traveling medical field, which I would have led with that.
Well, that would explain some of the licenses and phone numbers, sure.
Right.
I don't think he understands the red flags, because when he was talking to us, he said he was born and raised in New York and that he was just getting into firearms. And so he didn't know that he raised red flags, honestly, because he doesn't know what the red flags are.
So as an instructor, your job's to sort this shit out.
Right. So what I had them do, before we went to the range, I had them meet me at a public place. and kind of feel them out a little bit. Now, when I walked around the corner and I saw them, all of my fear went away.
Okay, what'd you see?
So he was, what, 6'1"?
Possibly.
Tall, kind of lanky, you know, younger guy. His wife was...
maybe 5 foot.
At best, 5 foot.
70 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah. Their demeanor, their appearance, just... I had no reservations at that point.
She had her makeup done. Eh.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this gal is a Colombian national?
Yes. So that was something that I did not know going in, is that she... now, she is a permanent resident. She has a green card. Everything's on the up and up. But had he told me that on the way in, I may have declined it.
Because I'll tell you right now, I've had some run-ins with Colombian women, and they can be sketchy.
Right. No. Salt of the earth, good people. And the discussions that we had on the range and after, they are our people. I will say that.
They're just really green.
They are very, very, very green.
All right. Well, good.
Now, to be fair, they didn't show up in a cab.
I had that happen. So, another red flag. If you are seeking training and there's a bunch of folks in a classroom and you show up in a taxi cab in Riverton, Wyoming, it doesn't look like you have any intention of driving home.
And then get delayed on the background check for the firearm he was supposed to get?
Yeah, so lots of flags were going on that day.
Now,
that day, I actually emptied my range ammo at my desk and put in self-defense.
You were
ammo.
Running a battle belt that day.
I was. Well, you needed a snake gun, too, where we were going.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't have that vote of confidence because I show up in your own vehicle, right? You have an intention to leaving, at least in the condition that you arrived in.
Now, I will, the vehicle thing, I'm going to put a caveat on that because I travel a lot for training. And there have been times that I fly in and I'm taking an Uber to the range.
Okay, I would have taken that. Like, first of all, it's Riverton, Wyoming.
Agreed. We have one Uber.
You have to fight to find a taxi because there's one. And if they're not on duty, they're not on duty. Maybe he did fly in. But then he fills out his 4473 for the firearm he was supposed to get with the class. And he gets on delay. And then I start to go, yikes.
Then we get him in class, and he is the guy that asks all the weird questions.
Like what?
Well, he wanted to know what kind of a wound channel a 6.5 Creedmoor created.
All right, that's more than a red flag.
Yep.
That's a red flag on fire.
Yep, it was definitely a weird one. We fielded it and explained it and kind of moved on. But, I mean, this is the type of flags we had that day. We get him to the range, and this guy, who claimed to have been around firearms a lot, didn't quite understand which end was the dangerous end. And so we chaperoned him with two people because he was a hazard to himself.
And to others.
Yes.
And I feel bad about that one because I was shooting, I think I was shooting competition that
you
weekend.
You weren't there that day.
Yeah,
no.
I wasn't there on that one.
You weren't. And so most people know with the delay after 72 hours, it is up to the FFL. And I told him I would not release that firearm to him. I'd transfer it to where he lived and he could try again. I was not doing it, y'all.
Well, and you kind of had to do that. It was a Colorado deal, so
it
transferring
was.
It to the FFL is a good idea.
I mean, it's not like he couldn't stay. Our taxi might be off duty for 3 days.
No, and I had to give him a ride back to the casino that night when the class was over. It was just a weird day. It was a weird day.
Yeah.
You let him go to your house.
He showed up for about 20 minutes of that. Yeah, he had.
But he knows where you live.
That's fine. The locks on my doors are for them, not for me.
Right. But at the end of the day, like, it especially newer shooters, and this is really who we're talking to, like, you need to be a little bit more forthcoming with your instructors, especially if things are weird.
Yeah, if things are weird, maybe, you know, a heads up, hey, I know this looks bad, but this is why.
Communication, again. If you don't know or you are new and very, very green to the situation, say that out loud.
Now, and I think, like, with our students, they're going to run into some issues because, number one, with the way their driver's license situation works and the fact that they are living in Riverton now because they're on contract with our hospital, they can't buy a gun. Not in Wyoming.
They can buy a rifle. They're both over 18. And Colorado and Utah are adjacent states.
That
but
is
they
true.
Cannot buy a pistol.
They can't buy a handgun.
Well, their address has to match whatever is on their governmental ID.
That's another downfall.
So, all right. So let me throw this in a completely different direction then. Okay. What about these people that travel for work? You were telling me it was, I think it was one of the Friends of the NRA girls or there somebody that was doing traveling sales. They did shows and they were only home like 3 weeks out of the year. She lived with her parents.
That's when we were boothing at AccuSport.
Oh, the Troy gals.
The Troy gals.
Yeah.
They're only home for like 10 days out of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
So for them to go and purchase a firearm, even though, because they're on the road 9 months out of the year.
Correct.
More than that, probably 11 months out
but
of the year.
But they do have a home address, and they can get it at home. These people who travel for medical,
right.
They don't have a home. Because every 6 months, their contract moves them somewhere else.
That makes it tough.
So they're living in short-term leases.
All the time.
Right. So from an FFL perspective, maybe this is something to discuss, and we all know like our feelings on the ATF, but it sounds like this is something that needs to be addressed because these people travel and they even express like their whole thing about getting into firearms and learning and being trained is they get transferred to some pretty sketchy places.
Well, and so the biggest flag that you had was the urgency. They had to do it and they had to do it right now.
And we found that was because their days off are few. He works a lot of overtime. So he doesn't get a lot of days.
Yeah, but I mean, that urgency kind of makes you think there's a motivation outside that you should be alerted to.
There does. However, I can kind of relate to that urgency.
But did they talk about it up front?
They did once we were face to face.
Yes, and they didn't up front is what I'm getting at.
Right.
That's why you had that uneasy feeling because at the end of the day, they said, I got to do this, and I got to do this right now.
Right.
And you didn't understand why right now. So communication would have helped a bunch.
And part of that might have just been me, because full disclosure, when we did talk on the phone, I gave them, hey, I'm open. And they took the first available date.
Gotcha. Okay.
But there was an urgency, and when we discussed it, I understood it.
Okay.
They were able to articulate it to a point where I understood, and I no longer felt uneasy.
Well, the part of that is he also had another class scheduled at the same range in, like, 5 weeks. One, the weather would have been nicer.
Sure.
And two, it would have been a classroom of people, so the other red flags wouldn't have red flagged as hard as a private class.
And the private class, do you feel that was because they are so green and a little self-conscious about it?
No. Yes, that's part of it. The other part was when I gave them the date that, you know, 5-6 weeks from now, they weren't sure they were still going to be here because their contract is coming due.
Got it. All right. So in a normal situation, yeah, there's a lot of details that weren't being shared well. I'm going to put this on you a little bit for asking questions. You need to do that better.
I should have asked a lot more questions.
We need to come up with a better way to do private classes because generally, if you sign up with a class of 10 students and an instructor, usually not so much of a red flag. But when you are getting private instruction and you have all these red flags.
Well, and nationally, you see a lot of situations on ranges where somebody will show up to a range in a taxi. They will go inside and they will rent a firearm and get a little bit of instruction from the guy behind the counter, go into their booth and shoot a couple rounds and then shoot themselves.
Right.
that taxi thing, why I go back to that as a flag for me, is they didn't intend on driving home. There was no plan to leave that range. And that is a flag for anybody that's doing education. Pay attention to it. Ask the questions. Get involved. Because there are folks out there that do have a malice and an ill will, and they want to demonize the firearm shooting industry as much as they possibly can in the action thereof.
Now, in speaking to that, one of the things, I've had conversations with the people that operate Reno guns, and their range officers and their counter help are trained specifically to look for those red flags, because that is one thing they are worried about, is somebody coming and committing suicide on a range or committing murder on a range.
No, sure. On there, they have more chances because they are close to California. So a lot of, when I was there, I realized a lot of people were coming in from California renting firearms that they can't have in California to shoot in the booths. It makes sense because they can't have them, but it's also a red flag. So where do they draw the line on that? Because
at the end of the day, they're a customer, but they require elevated attention.
They do. And I'm seeing a lot of, especially indoor ranges now, where the range officers are wearing body armor.
I've seen that a lot lately, too. Yep.
And I think that's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, I'm all in support of it, because the range officer needs to be protected, because there are, let's face it, there are stupid people on the range.
Correct.
But does it, for the shooters, does it invoke any kind of an intimidation factor or a elevated risk factor?
I think there's an elevated attention to the body armor from a intimidation side. I think that's definitely there. For those of us that go and shoot a lot, it's no big deal. It's what we kind of expect.
Right.
But if you're new to it, body armor is intimidating. There's a reason they're wearing it. Then you start asking all those weird reasons why.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that intimidation factor is, so we all know the ATF, government agencies, everything else, they're trying to ban body armor.
Interesting. I haven't seen much of this lately, but what would be the motivation there?
That's been going on for years. And I think a lot of it has to do with, everybody keeps going back to the Hollywood shootout.
That was a horrible, horrible event.
It was.
The perpetrators were very much well-prepared and trained and well-geared outside what law enforcement brought to the table.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I think we can look at that as the catalyst, is when we started to see the militarization of police departments.
Agreed, completely.
To an extent, like, I agree with it. Like, your cops can't be outgunned.
No, but they just need to train better, because if the bad guy has body armor, you need a headshot.
Agreed.
It's a little harder, but it can be done. Get him in the armpit. There's an artery in there.
Get him in the armpit.
I'm really good at crotch shots.
I am gonna
That'll
leave
get
that
you
in
too.
A quote space forever. Get him in the armpit.
Oh yeah, that's going on next year's intro.
Oh my gosh.
Get him in the armpit.
You're not wrong, first off. Second off, you're weird.
I'm not weird. It's logical. Bad guy wearing body armor.
This is why I'm, like, hesitating to build a cooler, because I'm going to walk in there and there's going to be somebody hanging by a meat hook.
They shouldn't have pissed her off. Well,
it'd probably be me.
Check their armpits.
Again, she's not wrong.
No. She's not wrong.
But weird, when I'm having to manage a threat, in any situation I've ever been in that was like that, the armpit is the last place I'm thinking of.
So let's go back to the days where you were doing security detail. You got shot wearing body armor.
I did.
And they didn't hit your body armor. Where'd they hit you?
I got shot in the shoulder, and I got shot in the chest. They did hit my body armor, to be fair. And I was moving to protect the asset. So the moving is probably what got me shot in the shoulder.
Well, its shoulder took you down.
And
so
that's just it. People have to understand, okay, body armor, cool. You've got plates. And all of you guys buying AR 500 plates, you realize you're going to go ping when you get hit.
Well,
so you got plates. It covers your organs, right? There are arteries outside of the body armor.
It's fashionable to have the 500 armor. Don't get me wrong. The ceramic plates, the level 5, whatever you want. Put those on and wear them for a while.
They're heavy.
You do not wear them very long. Any longer than you absolutely have to, you suck. Do not wear them.
Put them on and run uphill, buddy.
Oh, God.
They suck. But here's the thing. Plates are usually front and back.
Yes.
You're a three-dimensional body.
Absolutely.
You turn sideways, and you have little to no protection.
None of that's protected.
No.
There's arteries in your leg.
Yeah.
Arteries in your leg. And that's what we have gone to now, because you see a lot of these mass shooters, like the school shooters, the mass shooters, they're wearing body armor. And one of the things that I've gotten is explaining to my students that a pelvic shot is viable. Now, you may not put them out of the fight, but you're going to at least limit their mobility.
Ability to procreate if you do it right.
You hit some dude in the pelvis, I guarantee you, you take him out of the fight. That is a nasty place to take a round.
Well, there's so much there. You've got the pelvic girdle, which supports the entire skeletal structure. You've got a ton of arteries going through there, including some massive ones, mm-hmm. where you're looking at 40 seconds and you're bled out.
It is a total viable shot. Do not get my comment construed. That is a very sensitive, debilitating area for a human.
But I always put the caveat. They may hit the ground, but they may still shoot back.
Whew. That individual is tough. Well, but it's possible. You're right.
Maybe they may be tough. They may be on drugs.
Adrenaline, drugs. I mean, sure. A lot of folks have been killed by people they've shot and killed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is something to always keep in mind.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about and we reinforce, you shoot until the threat stops, right? Until the threat stops.
Right.
You may have gotten a vital shot, but they're still shooting.
Well, and another red flag, looking at training. I went to a long-range training a while back, and half the class climbed out of their cars like mall ninjas in full kit. Now, this is a precision rifle class. And, I mean, we're talking knee pads, elbow pads, comms. They had radios on. I mean, full kit. That's kind of a flag. I think they misunderstood.
Long-range classes are at a bench. So knee pads.
Yep, on a shooting mat.
Comms.
Yep, I don't think they understood any of that, but they climbed out of the car ready to go.
Okay, G.I. Joe.
Right. So that's a flag. Either they don't understand the activity that you're getting into, or some G.I. Joe fashion has gotten a hold.
I've had that too. And I always ask the question, because I have had guys that have come up with a legit answer. Why are you in full kit for a self-defense class? Well, because I'm an officer. I'm security. I'm private security. I'm whatever. And this is what I work in. That's viable.
I guess I can't fault that. These dudes were florists and accountants.
Wow.
That didn't have any purpose other than to get in the way. And by noon, the first day, they had all that stuff stripped off and put in the car.
Oh, and I've said this several times on this show. I've taught classes in a bathrobe because of that. Guys will show up in full kit and battle belts, and it's like, dude, this is not how you're going to fight. No. You are not going to gear up at 3 o'clock in the morning when the glass breaks. You're just not.
Nobody has the Batman gear up closet.
You don't
know
me.
Well, you might.
I might.
It's upstairs. You can't walk through it.
Huh. What's your time to get on your kit?
Oh, God. 10, 15 minutes probably.
Yeah, the threat's good.
I'm not getting into my kit.
She has hung them in the cooler by then. You're done.
I'm the guy, my nightstand, I've got my concealed carry because I take it off at night, and I've got a flashlight right there, and that's what I'm going out with.
For most things that go bump on the night, that's all you need.
It is. Now, here, because we live out in the middle of nowhere. We're 20 miles out in the middle of nowhere in nowhere, Wyoming, right? I have a rifle handy because chances are it's going to be that four-legged predator
Possible.
That's not going to allow me to get close, but I still need to manage the threat.
You got
to
protect your livestock.
Right. So that's a different scenario. But we talk about that all the time. You have to tweak your defense to your reality.
So I'm seeing two different trainings develop here. You have your urban bump in the night and your rural bump in the night.
Well, that's why we always ask our students when they come to class, you know, why are you taking this class?
Maybe you ought to ask the student pre-class, why are you taking the class?
No.
Back to that communication. I think you should.
But then they might change their mind.
So it's about getting the sign up, not good information.
Well, part of it. I mean, it is a business, right?
But I'm just busting your stones. But at the end of the day, it's a valid question.
It is a valid question, but I always ask it because you do. Especially like with the carbine classes and stuff, you get people that they live in an urban environment, big city, whatever. And why are you taking carbine class? Well, because I got this carbine and I want to understand how to use it. Okay, cool, valid. Well, it looks fun. Also valid. I mean, everything that we do in training, there's a little bit of a fun factor. But then you get the guy that's really thought it through. And he is. He's me. I live in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. And when something goes bump in the night, I'm not grabbing my Glock 19. I'm going for the AR-15. Fair.
That's fair. But is that the class you're teaching?
It is.
Because the precision rifle class I was going to, these guys were ready for not the class we were teaching.
They were ready for small units.
Maybe. None of them had hydration packs.
Oh, water's a thing.
Water's a thing.
I mean, we talk about it all the time. Your eyes are the first thing to go.
When you get dehydrated, that's the first thing to go. If you ever stopped and have to do the roadside Olympics, the officer, when he takes that flashlight, he's running it from one side of your head to the other. He's watching for your eyes to stair step as it tries to keep up with the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indication of dehydration. Dehydration is an indication of being drunk.
Yeah, well, I live dehydrated.
Yeah. With a whiskey in your hand, look at you go.
Yes, but you know what? I'm not driving.
Fair enough.
I live here.
Still can't get around physics.
No, you can't. And I mean, physics is a big part of it. Have all the go fast that you want. And I think I always thought that was funny because they, you know, the gear up, the battle belt, the body armor, all the stuff. And they call it go fast, right? You don't go fast.
You're weighed down with 60 pounds of gear.
Right?
You can't carry enough ammo.
No.
I don't care what you're doing. You can't carry enough. It's physically impossible. You will shoot everything you've got if you get under stress.
Right. And I've never heard anybody in a gunfight complain that they didn't have enough ammo.
Correct.
Or that they had too much ammo.
Correct.
You can't. But at the... And our environment plays a lot into it. We're a relatively rural environment. We are very rural. Body armor is not top on my list. Mobility is.
Mobility is top on the list, for sure. So red flags, what else you got?
Oh, God. So a big red flag for me is somebody who is either military or law enforcement coming to a class and not training in their duty gear.
Interesting.
If they can't articulate it. Let me throw that caveat out. Because I have had military and law enforcement both come to a class, and they're training from concealment. And I ask a question, you know, you're active duty, you're law enforcement, why are you not training your duty gear? The best answer I've gotten is, well, because I'm not always on duty.
And I wanna
train for when I'm not.
That's a great answer.
Cool. I'm there.
And that individual is probably taking a more proactive approach to his own personal skill sets.
Yes.
Which a lot of law enforcement guys don't do. They carry a gun every day, and they think they're proficient because they carry one for a profession.
Right.
and they qualify, what, twice a year?
Yep.
Most guys don't spend the time on the range to become, one, proficient with their duty gear, let alone their concealed carry stuff.
No.
So the guy you're talking about, hats off to him.
Right. This is the guy that understands that his profession revolves around a gun.
Sure.
And that he needs to be proficient not only in the gun, but in the life-saving aspect of it, too.
Well, you got to have the proficiency with a tool.
Right.
You may get called to use.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, back to your point, if he can't articulate it, he hasn't thought that through, and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
He has a new range toy he wants to play with.
Right.
My guess.
Back to communication. And while we're communicating, let's communicate with our sponsors.
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for.
So have either one of you had a red flag enough to decline a student?
Yes.
And what was that red flag?
So I had a student, and they signed up over the website, and the name and the address, it just felt hinky to me. It was somebody from Florida was the address. And they ended up having to run their credit card three times to get it to go. And it just, something about the whole process just felt off to me. So I went down to the sheriff's department. I spent the money, did a background check on them, found out that they were a Cuban refugee.
Ah, all right. Well, you did the research. That's really commendable. Most folks wouldn't have done that. The struggles with the credit card and all that, I mean, financial, whatever, people have their struggles. But if the names and all that stuff doesn't match, yeah, you've got to ask questions.
It just felt weird.
For me, I wouldn't call it necessarily the red flag, but I've kicked people off of my class at a range for safety handling issues. You have a conversation with them about it, how to do it and do it right, and they persist in doing it wrong or blatantly out of spite, it seemed at times, would continue down the path of, well, this is what I do. I was like, no, that's not what you do on my range. So I have kicked people off the range for creating safety issues.
Now, there's another red flag, which has come up because I'm on your social media as an admin for WildTac, and there's one that this person goes, is it okay if my son takes the class instead of me? Or there's other situations, my brother, my father, my best friend, whatever. So they purchase the class and then hand the class off. Is that not maybe just a pink flag, not quite red, but kind of pink?
I wouldn't call it red. I understand what they're doing. Most of our classes are purchased at a benefit banquet, and it's grandpa or dad who bought it, and they really want to give it to their son.
But WildTac isn't that way.
True. Fair enough.
And well, so I understand, okay, she wants her son to take it. I get it. But, you know, my best friend or this guy I met wants to take it. I mean, it starts to sound like, you know, as the ATF puts it, a straw purchase, so to speak.
If it's just an educational opportunity, I don't see a problem with it. But if it is packaged with a firearm, many more conversations have to be had.
Well, I see red flag to it because, you know, little Sue Miller buys a class, little sweet old lady buys a class, and then the guy that shows up to take this said class could be a problem.
Could be. But again, back to communication. If Sue Miller bought the class and she didn't tell you it was for her grandson, and he shows up to take class expecting, like, he bought the class, conversations need
to be
had.
But that's the good side of it. Somebody buys said class to send somebody in that's going to cause trouble later.
That's entirely possible. As the instructor, you got to vet that out. Why I do a classroom portion, I get to know these people a little bit before we ever touch a firearm.
Mm-hmm. I actually had that exact situation. I have a class coming up that one of the gals in the class asked if, you know, her son could take the class instead of her. Now, there was no question in this, because this is somebody that's been a student of mine. I think she's been through 3 or 4 classes at this point. I know her. I have no hesitation of that. Now, I said, you should take the class with your son. No problem with that. We're training both. You're talking about the person that purchases, and that's not the person that shows up.
And it may not necessarily be a relative, and you may not know this person. This person out of the blue, you don't even know him, purchases said class and then hands it off to somebody else out of the blue that you don't know. Could be, I mean, not necessarily a red flag so much, but it's kind of a pinkish flag.
If that happens and there was no communication prior to the actual day of the class, I wouldn't allow that person in.
Even if there are.
If there are, then we'd have conversation as to what happened, right? Why was it handled that way? There's an explanation that's legitimate, and there's an explanation that's not.
Right. Yeah, and if you're getting that phone call from, Miss Susie, and she goes, you know, hey, look, I'm 85 years old. I'm not going to take this class, but my son wants to take it. Okay, because then I have his name. I know who's showing up to the class, and when they show up, like, everything matches.
I've said it before. Surprises are bad.
Right.
So surprise student, they're not going to take the class.
No.
They can reschedule.
No, I have had that. I have had where, all my students show up and one of my students brings a friend. That last minute, they drug them to class. They show up with their checkbook. Hey, I'm here. I'm with. Okay, fine.
That's different. That is totally different.
It is, but again, it's one of those things that gives you pause.
Sure. If you've got room in the class, that's cool. If
right.
you don't, sorry, he gets to hang out.
Yep.
And at what point is it judging by appearances, especially if you don't know him?
I don't know. I feel I'm pretty tolerant and don't judge by appearances too awful much. I mean, prime example, at Blizzard Summit, Paul. You could not judge him by an appearance.
No.
You just couldn't. And I would love to have Paul at classes because he's a rock star.
Oh, and he's fun. And he's funny as hell, and I don't think he's trying to be.
Not even a little bit.
But I guess, what do you get when the editor of Shooting Illustrated picks you up in a Home Depot parking lot?
You get Paul.
Okay, so let's say, for instance, Paul. Paul, right? He's your surprise student that steps in for Susie, right?
Without communication.
Okay. You look at him, he appears to be completely and utterly harmless and checked out. Pa-ching! He is actually really amazing with a firearm. Again, something. It's still something to pay attention to.
But again, without communication and just showing up, he doesn't take the class.
Well, it goes back, let's say you had the prior communication, but Paul shows up. It goes back to, we don't make assumptions.
Correct.
And I think that's the biggest thing. So here's a red flag. Don't show up to a class when you have Ebola.
Oh, if you're sick? Yeah, don't do that.
Not sure he had Ebola, but I diagnosed him with such, and I got stuck with that one. So
for about a nanosecond until you had enough of him, and then we all got stuck with him.
Well, because not only was he obviously ill because we kept him separated from all the other students, he would not listen. And I want to say it was because I have boobs and I don't know anything. But he would not listen to me. And it was getting to the point where I might actually hurt him. So it was time for someone else to take over.
And it's a very valid way to transition the educational opportunity to somebody else. And you did a very stellar job in making sure that everybody else on the range knew that you were done.
It was publicly announced.
Yes, it was publicly announced.
I heard you on the other end of the firing line.
Yep. And we got it handled, and we got him corrected. It took half a day. It was an educational drain on some other folks because we ended up babysitting him a little bit.
But I wouldn't really consider him, okay, he came ill, which was ridiculous because we have classes every weekend all summer. He came ill, but he wasn't really a red flag. He just would not listen to a female instructor, and that's not really a red flag. That is commonplace.
He had a hard time listening to male instructors.
He knew it all. And it was one of those situations where you had to show him that maybe he doesn't. And once we got him there, he was fine.
He's a know-it-all that turns his turrets on his rifle scope like the Wheel of Fortune while sighting it.
I get it. And he was shooting a mil scope. And so
you can't say, come on, 500, as you spin the sucker,
he
okay?
He was minute of earth and sometimes not that. I get it. But once we got him settled down and listening to instruction, he was fine. It just took him half a day, and it took a drain on the edge of the rest of the class because of that.
So, and I don't know if this is necessarily a red flag, but I've seen it twice in your classes now, where somebody shows up and they shoot three rounds, and because they weren't absolutely perfect in those three rounds, they threw the gun down and quit.
I had a grown man, I mean pushing 50, do exactly that. The world was not his oyster that day, and he quit. I can't help somebody unless they let me.
You had more than one. You had the other one that actually threw his gun. It was a hunting class, so we were on the side of a hill.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
And he threw the gun and walked away. He was also the one that had to go potty, and we're like, nature, go potty. And he's like, I can't go to the bathroom without a bathroom.
Yeah, well, the good news was that in that circumstance, he'd already done the 44-73, and that gun was his. So I didn't care if he threw it. It was his. It was bad etiquette. It was bad form. It caused a lot of disruption on my line. But, again, we got it corrected, and he got stabilized out and learned that day.
Well, and you also had a class that was an advanced hunting class where they had to gauge their own targets from the scope. And it was a little bit of math, and nobody in that class freaking tried. They were just throwing it out there, and they're like, did you do the math? They're like, I ain't doing the math.
So we had six folks in that class, and three of them really were math challenged. And they got frustrated really early, and so they just kind of started shooting at whatever they wanted to shoot at. And they got you can't pull that off very often and not get caught doing it. So we had ended up at lunchtime sitting them down and saying, okay, you realize what this class is, right? Because the rest of the afternoon is going to be more of what we did this morning.
It was advanced, and they were told before they took the class.
Mm-hmm. And frustration sets in, and people quit. Again, you can't help that other than to let them have their baby fit, let them settle down, and reapproach them with a calm head and say, okay, this is what we're doing now. Would you like to be engaged? Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. You can't help them unless they let you help them.
Here's a red flag for the other side of the team. You get someone who paid for class, shows up, and looks you square in the face and says, I'm not shooting.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my gosh, what do you do with that?
You teach the class, and they can observe, and they can learn, and they can take away what they will.
Huh.
But at the end of the day, and this student actually left two-thirds through the class, had more important things to do, and that's fine. And the rest of the class, we were taking a break, reloading, getting water, and they asked me, why were they even here? You know, why did you allow it? And at the end of the day, my response was, look, the check cleared. I owe them the education. Whether or not they want to participate is on them. We're not public educators, right? We don't have
the no one left behind rule,
right? Like, and I try not to. Like, if you're coming to me, I am going to teach you everything I possibly can, right? But I can't force you to learn it.
Correct.
Here's what gets me. Is she does that at the very first class, refuses to shoot, okay? She writes another check, attends another class to not shoot.
Right. And maybe the shooting portion is not what she was looking for. Now, she actually did shoot in that class. She ended up shooting. And I gotta say, I was rather impressed. She shot well. But it was the roll up to the class, climb out of my car, and walk right up to me. And the first thing she says is, I'm not shooting today.
Do you think it's because a significant other, whether it's husband, boyfriend, was forcing these classes upon her.
That would be my guess.
She doesn't want to shoot. She doesn't want to take class. That's on her. She paid for the class.
Right. And I think she had some takeaways from it. I really do. But it's just not something that she wanted to do. And that's fine. I'm not going to deny you an experience. Your participation level is yours.
You made the opportunity available.
Right.
That's all your job is.
And one of the things that we talk about, is you get out of this what you put into it. And that's with most things in life, but especially with shooting. You're going to get out of a class what you put into it.
Agreed.
If you come to put in the work and question things, like our curriculums are not rectally extracted, to use your words.
Great term.
Like we're not pulling this stuff out of thin air. We're not reinventing the wheel. We are teaching you things that are tried and true and been proven to be effective at saving lives. So I'm going to give you all the information. What you do with it is on you. And we talk about the competency part of it. Mm-hmm. And that is the competency.
So let's go back to the other side of the room. Not so much a scary red flag, but the ones who schedule the class, don't talk to you, don't show up, but call you after the class to reschedule multiple times.
So you're talking about there's really one specific individual.
There's actually three. I have them on my whiteboard.
The other ones haven't recontacted us, and they're off my radar as far as I'm concerned. The gentleman you're talking about has let 5 years go by, and the statute of limitations of my obligation to honor that class are starting to wane.
Oh, and he's not even on my whiteboard list. I'm talking about three others.
Yeah, well, they don't recontact us. Those ones that are on your whiteboard list, we haven't heard from. So we may hear from them later, but on the outset of it, I've got one guy that is truly trying to fulfill the educational opportunity, and he's had a lot of stuff go on. I am being as patient as I possibly can, and he understands how all it works. So he's been really good to work with. It's just frustrating that he's let this drag on for so long.
And it happens, but hopefully, through all of this, you guys kind of understand, like, how not to be that guy.
Yeah, communicate, participate, and think about what it looks like when you show up to a class in a taxi.
Well, and if you think that, that would scare me too, maybe come forward with some of that, hey, I know this looks weird, but this is why it looks weird.
Right.
Yeah. And if they can't articulate that, then they probably either did it out of malice or just absolutely absentee-minded.
Right. Right. And I get it. Like, we talk about it all the time. You know, a lot of the people that come to our classes, they don't know what they don't know.
Correct.
And it is our job to educate them, which is why we want to try at every opportunity to give the benefit of the doubt.
Correct.
But the more you can communicate with us, the better it's going to be for everybody. And so you guys aren't blaming the instructor. Keep blaming the gun.